You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Ken Connors alongside Walter Azzi from Renovco. Walter, good morning.
Good morning.
We're going to get to the Sharon. We're going to get to you in just a second. The calls are coming in for the Home Improvement Show. Walter's here for the full hour. Ask him anything. Pick his brain. He's got years and years of experience when it comes to home renovations. 514-790-0800. How is your drive-in? How are the roads?
Well, first of all, years and years of experience because I started young.
At the age of nine.
That's right. So the roads were not bad. It's just windy. Given the fact I was out last night, I was telling you about back home around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Yesterday was bad. Today is not bad. It's just windy.
Yeah. We got a lot of rain too in the middle of the afternoon yesterday. It came down.
That was what wreaked havoc, and we had unfortunately a lot of emergencies last night because of that. Because you know all the flat roofs, the drains are blocked.
Yeah.
And water was melting and had nowhere to go. Streets, the same thing. All the potholes were...
Like, it just wasn't a shower. At one point, I looked outside the front door. It was really coming down.
It was coming down. Yeah. It was a perfect storm yesterday for infiltrations and issues and what have you. And that's what we always say. Make sure, look at the meteo, and if you have a flat roof, make sure that, you know, that drain is clear. Don't wait for the problem to happen. It's really... for us to do that in the middle of the night in a storm that windy, my emergency crews yesterday were really in bad shape in the sense that they really had to risk a lot, and it's not easy and it's not obvious. So just be preemptive in cases like this. And truth be told, they've been talking about the storm for a couple of days.
That's
now.
True. So we had fair warning. Eh?
We had fair warning, and we had a beautiful weather in the morning that we could have done what we need to do without, you know, having to do it in the middle of the night.
Yeah. A lot of people, knowing the storm was coming on Friday, I think they tried to take care of business on Thursday, you know, like we did. We ran out and did a couple of errands on Thursday, knowing, you know, tried to stay off the roads on as much as we could yesterday, knowing the storm was on the way. I'm going to go to Laval, Walter, and say hi to Sharon. Sharon, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi, Sharon, is it?
No, Sean.
Oh, Sean, I have a Sharon here. My apologies, Sean. Sean, you're calling from what part of Laval are you in?
In Duvernay.
Very nice. And you want to talk about the kitchen. What's going on there?
No, kitchen is okay. It's the top, you know, there's a vent from the kitchen. You can see the aluminum tube. I don't know what is this mechanism, because when there's a windy, not now, but when there's a windy, it was a big flapper kind of noise was coming, you know. Flapper was touching with something or whatever. I don't know. This noise was coming from this vent on the roof. Hmm. And yesterday when I put the fan on the stove. This is a new one I installed last year. And there was some little water came out, not too much, but just a few, like a few drops. So I was wondering, this is a dangerous. What is this? Why it is giving noise?
Okay.
Now the exterior exhaust. You're talking about the kitchen vent.
Just for everybody
to be clear about that, the exterior vent for that exhaust, where is it located? Is it in, on the roof or is it on the side of the house?
It is on the roof. Okay. There's a one small one, and then there's a big one, like a bend one, and the I don't know what is that one, but the roof was done about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I thought there is no cap on this. Something is touching, but there must be cap on this thing. I don't know. I never seen it upstairs.
Well, I mean, if you take a day like yesterday, you have an exhaust fan, you have all the snow melting, you have all this rain.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not installed tall enough on the roof, you would have issues. Now, the fact that you had a couple of drops is not very alarming in the sense that you shouldn't have those drops, but you know, if something was really not adequately done, you would have had a lot more than a couple of drops. But I mean, yesterday would have been a perfect cocktail for you to have what you had, given the fact that you had that exhaust vent on the roof. Now, so a good practice would be to see what's happening when it snows. Where is this vent, like the height of the vent vis-a-vis the snow, where it's located? And is it getting buried with snow? Okay. So that's where we really have to look at and you know, see if there's an adequate flapper on top. So it you know, you have a good operation. You know, I can't really tell you what they installed. I don't know.
But there is a flapper, like a cap.
Well, there have to be something that, you know, opens up and close down, right? When you use it, and when you don't use it, have to shut back down.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to have all kind of backdrafts, which you don't want.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that's basically it. It's sometimes when we see it's problematic and it's recurrent, you know, you could maybe start looking in the future to make it go on the side of the house, because, you know, it's less likely to have snow accumulations and issues like that, like you have. But that's only if you suffer from it chronically. That means every time it rains, or you have weird weather, you have water coming down, and that's, you know, most often than not, kitchen exhaust fan, we bring them out on the side of the house. I personally prefer it because it's also a shorter distance than going all the way up. And, you know, the exhaust fan needs to be stronger because the span is bigger. Whereas when you are going from the side of the house and you have like, what, maybe a 3-4 feet max.
How much? 3 feet?
Max 3-4 feet when you're going straight on the side, unless you have to make a turn. Not even 2 feet. Then any fan, really, even the cheaper ones would work, because the span is very, very short. Whereas when you go through the roof, you need a very strong fan, and you want to make sure that there's no turns and there's no bends. And you would have to water with, you have to deal with whatever is around the roof, any water accumulation, anything of that nature. So,
In the snow, now the snow is all, I didn't look at the, whether it is covered with the snow or not, because with a couple of days we had a lot of snow.
Yeah, especially when you have blowing snow and things move around on the roof, that makes it a bit more, you know, sometimes when you have blowing snow, you have one area of the roof that gets more snow, like you have just how the wind is flying.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a lot of cases, these vents get literally buried. So that's why we have to kind of, you have to see it in cases of extreme weather, or, you know, even after the storm is done, just to kind of see how is it behaving in this particular thing. And if you find it's being buried, then you have to do something about it, because it will cause you other problems in the future as well.
All right, Sean, thank you very much for the phone call. That opens up a line if you want to call in and talk to Walter at 514-790-0800. We only have a minute here, but I just wanted to mention before we get to the roads that with all the power outages, we had a lot of texts and phone calls this morning, and one caller said that luckily they had bought a generator, and they hadn't quite hooked it up yet, but they managed to hook it up yesterday and just got the essentials up and running to keep them warm, you know. So they got the fridge going and a small heater. And it's just a lot of people, I think, and we're in the same boat where we're thinking, you know, we should get a generator. And then, you know, we keep putting it off. But I think that's a smart idea, because the weather is so erratic now, right?
Yes, it is. We're not dealing with the same weather patterns. I mean, whether we like it or not, it's different. Yeah. Just even 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's a different weather pattern. Now the storms are more extreme. They're more wild.
Extreme, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the temperature fluctuation, it's crazy. Day like yesterday just tells you that you really need it, and you need it very fast, because, you know, the people with no electricity, with all this water, with all this rain, what happened to their sump pumps now?
Yeah, absolutely. That's Walter Assey. Call now if you want to talk to Walter, or if you have a question for him, 514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
920. Michael and Pierre, hang on. We're going to get to you in just a couple of minutes. But something that we tried to get to last week and we didn't, I just want to bring up this question from the text line that we've been putting off. And It's from Robin Lavelle. So, Walter, you can address this. It's a very interesting issue here he brings up. He says they're talking about a slowdown in the economy in 2023. And Rob says he's planning a major renovation for next year, $200,000 plus, he says. So he wants to know, how can I account for lower construction costs next year on a contract I sign now?
It's a great question. We've been trying to get to it for the last couple of weeks, and you know, it stayed with us because it is true that you might have a bit of confusion about what's happening, especially in the construction market. You know, the higher rates, the higher interest rates, are they slowing down that sector of the economy? We know that house sales went down a little bit and what have you, but we were also trying to see what's happening in construction. Now, I know that new construction has slowed down in the sense that everybody is kind of holding tight because of the higher interest rates. But typically when that happens, renovation jobs go up. In the previous recessions, if we just factor in what happened in previous recessions, home renovation sector actually was up. People hunker down, they go out less, they invest more in their home because it's a more of a sure investment.
They didn't travel, so they had that money.
That's right.
Disposable money, yeah.
And everybody is trying to, it's just people make less moves, let's say. So we always go back to shelters, like what happened in COVID. Everybody kind of went back to their home and re-engineered their nest. That's what kind of happens in recessions typically. So we haven't seen any signs of a slowdown from our end. We haven't seen any signs of... The prices have already normalized, but I don't see them going to pre-COVID prices because we always have the supply chain issues, and that's still there. Gas prices is still there. We're not immune from everything that's happening around us. You have the Russian-Ukrainian war. You have all of these things that are affecting us in a domino effect fashion. And, the fact of the matter is there is shortage for homes in Quebec. So we've hired the interest rate to slow down the activity, but the shortage issue is not going to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're going to have, all of these vacant properties and what have you. It's because, on the contrary, we need to build more.
Yeah.
So there will, in my opinion, we're going to have, in the future, there's going to be, this is in a couple of years, it's going to surface again that there is a need to stimulate the construction market to build more homes. Maybe not right away because everybody's kind of testing what's happening right now. They hire the rates, they see what happens. It's trial and error, in my opinion, because they're not really targeting the real issue. The real issue is we don't have enough households.
Right. All right.
We don't have enough homes.
There you go, Rob. I hope that was some help for you. Let's go to the phone. 514-790-0800 is Michael out in Pierrefonds. Michael, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, gentlemen, and happy holidays to both of you.
I'm right back at you. Plumbing. The plumbing issue. Where in the house is that?
Well, I spoke to Jan a little while back when he was around, and he thought it was a vent issue. Because the house is sort of divided in two, where one side has the kitchen and the laundry drain, while the other half has three bathrooms, which obviously has a couple of showers, three sinks, and three toilets. Now, that side works fine, but the kitchen side and the laundry drain has issues. So trying to isolate it, there's a little entrance right below the laundry area, which I can, I guess, fish the wire through, whatever, to try to unblock it. So I opened that up, and I had someone run water down. So it stopped there. So obviously, my assumption is there's a blockage in that pipe. But is it realistic to think that there are two separate areas merge into one main drain out to the street? Does that make sense?
It's highly unlikely.
Okay.
Highly unlikely. Just way too many, bathrooms and everything connecting to one area. And the span is too far. So it won't make sense if I'm doing the job to do it this way. Just more work. The span is crazy. And, you need slopage as well, which is very hard to do when you have a big span.
1965 yeah. vintage.
Now, do you have one main stack in the basement?
Stack meaning vent?
Yeah, well, main drain.
Well, or two. I don't know. Well, okay, the main drain going to the street, I only found it out later. It's under the stairs next to the sump pump.
That's in one area, but do you have another one on the other area?
No, I don't.
And is it?
That's why I'm thinking.
And your basement is finished?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Okay, so maybe it's buried in a wall somewhere. Mm-hmm. But what is your worry in this case?
I can't. Well, I think kitchen sink's working fine, but I can't use the bathtub, the laundry drain, because it backs up.
No, it backs up, but when you said you passed the camera and you found a blockage.
Well, not a camera. I passed a fish.
A fish, okay.
Yeah. A 50-foot one.
And how far?
Well, I'm sure it went all the way to the... I didn't open the main drain yet, but I'm assuming it went all the way there. But it's a fish, right? It's not wide enough to cover the whole opening.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, when you pass your fish, did you feel any resistance?
Yes, I did. Well, the fish had an attachment for a drill, so I put the drill on it, so it spun. So it opened up a little, but I'm assuming that it's not wide enough for a full flow of water to evacuate the drains.
Yes, but if you... So the good news is that there is a blockage, meaning it's not a question of an overcapacity on your drain, right. And a lot of things are... It is an actual blockage. And if you have a blockage... And the other area of the house is connected to it, well, you would have had problems in the other areas as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's good news for you. Mm-hmm. You're just going to need to have a bigger fish.
Right.
And, maybe potentially professional fish from plumbers, because if it's a big blockage, the small fish is not going to do it. Maybe with a longer span, just to make sure that they go all the way in. Sometimes what they do is they also pressure wash the drains, so you do... Are your drains cast iron?
I'm assuming yes.
Okay. Because the problem with cast iron drains, with time, they clog up and they corrode, and from within, you see that the span is way smaller.
Right. Mm-hmm, true.
Michael, we're up against the clock. Hope that was some help for you.
Yes, for sure. Thank you.
All right. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays once again.
Absolutely. You too. All right. 9:30. Let's head to the newsroom.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
You can call now and talk to Walter Azzi from Inovco at 514-790-0800. We've already covered plumbing issues and ventilation issues. He runs the gamut from A to Z. We spun the wheel and it landed on the word M for mold. We have a text for you. Good morning, guys. Question for Walter is related to my sister and my daughter's friend live in an apartment on Bernard Street, which has a lot of old buildings, and she's on the main floor, and we believe she has a mold issue. She's always saying that she's not feeling well, sneezing, coughing. My question is, who can we call so that they can come over and test for mold in her apartment?
Okay. That is fairly common, but before we go through the mold testing and the expenditure, we usually ask a few more questions just to make sure that they're not kind of looking in the wrong area.
Such as?
As an example, mold comes with other things. You need water to have mold. Right, so if you don't have any water damages in your apartment and you don't have any humidity issues in the apartment and you don't have a musty smell to go with it, chances are you don't have mold. Okay, so that's one thing. We have to see the history. Now, having said that, there are a lot of times that we go and people tell us we never had water damage or anything like that, but then 14 years ago, my basement flooded, but that was 14 years ago, but we didn't do anything about it.
Mm.
So, that's mold from 14 years ago, just festering and growing and spreading. So it doesn't go away. It's not like if you don't do anything about it, it's a long time the mold dies by itself. So you really have to go far in the history and see if you had any bad practices prior. If it's not the case... Right now, the issues with the air quality inside is, are we doing any air evacuation? Do we have an air exchanger in the house? If we don't, then chances are the quality of the air inside the house is not adequate. The air is too dry. That's why you have to have a hygrometer in the house. And you have to see what your humidity levels are like. Typically, this time of year, we want to humidify the room, the ambient air. Because if your air is below 50, 55 degrees and percent, I should say, and you know it's really dry, it's going to affect your sinuses. So it's going to give you this very similar symptoms to mold.
Yeah.
And that's why you think it's mold. But in certain cases, it's just that you're not, you know, adequately and mechanically helping the house. You know, some people tell you, well, open windows. Yes, you do, but it's dry outside as well. So it's not really, you need to introduce those humidifiers in this time if the humidity levels are low. Mm. Okay? And it's a balancing act. Now, as far as mold, so if it is mold and we know we have a good risk that it's mold, you have two ways you want to look at that, okay? Number one would be the air quality of the house, which is the most important. You call an air quality expert. There's many companies that do that. They come in, and what they do is interesting because they put a cartridge inside the house. It sucks the air, you know, for about 5 minutes. And then they put the same cartridge, another cartridge on the outside, and then they analyze the two. So they give you the exterior standard, which is considered the normal standard for the spores, mm-hmm. versus the inside. If the inside spores are higher, then you have a contamination. Now we also look by how much higher. Is it 2 times, 3 times, 10 times, 20 times, and what have you. What we also look at the species that are inside the house that are not on the outside. That's also cause for concern. Because, I mean, typically we have the cladosporum, we have the penicillin, the aspergillus, and all of these guys that are present in the outside air. Very seldom and rare you see a stachybotrys, for example. So if you have inside the house, let's say, penicillin at the same levels as the outside, but then you have a stachybotrys, even if it's just 20 spores, it is cause for concern. Then we're going to have to dig deeper. The easiest part is if the house, the homeowner, zeroes down on where the last water damage was, right, that was not mitigated, because now we can concentrate in that area, and then any other area that's contaminated is secondary contamination. So they're non-viable spores, but they would have to still be dealt with. There is also a lot of misconception when it comes to mold.
Such as?
Is how you deal with it. Okay, so we hear it most of the time. Okay, I put bleach, I put Javex, I put... that's the worst thing you could do.
Really?
This worst thing you could do, because there's a misconception that a mold spore should be killed. That mold spore is as bad for you as a live one. Okay? Because you still breathe it in. It could still be airborne. It could be reactivated with the right conditions, and so on and so forth. The idea with mold remediation is to get rid of the spores. So we have specialized machines. They get the HEPA filtration system. They get sucked in and they get trapped. And that's what you should do. Killing them and just spraying them and what have you, yes, okay, it deactivates them, but it's still, the spores are present.
So don't reach for the Javex.
Yeah, well, I mean, bleach is not to be used in mold, and that's if you go to the Ministry of Health, they have it actually in bold letters. Do not use bleach on yeah.
The air quality test, what kind of cost are we talking about here for an apartment?
It is per test, so the minimum is actually 2 tests.
Okay.
Because they want to test the outside to give you the normal standard.
Yeah.
It's usually for 2 tests, anywhere, depending on the company you call, so anywhere between 500 to 700. So it's between 250 to 350 per test. if you wish. Okay. But the minimum you should have is two tests.
It's 9:43. I got about 90 seconds. I'm just going to throw it, just a comment, I guess, from the about this the question we had before, the caller we had before regarding drains. Mm-hmm. If the caller has a carburetor in the kitchen and it's on the same line with the laundry, lint and food waste could be a problem.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah, it's often seen.
All right. 514-790-0800, number to call. You know what? We're going to bring in Martin from St. Hubert and set up his call, and then we're going to go to the roads here. So let me just bring him up and make sure he sticks around. Is it Martin or Martin?
It's Martin.
How are you? South Shore, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We're going to break for traffic here, but Walter's here in the studio with me. Just set up the issue, and then we'll bring you on after the break.
Okay. The French drain that drains the water out of a house. I'm renting in a basement, and I've got the sump pump, and it was running all night. And some guy came over, and it ends up that it detached, it popped because it froze. It was it has a pipe going out from the side of the house, and like a flexible pipe, and it goes down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up that the pipe was frozen, of course. Mm-hmm. It's in the snow. So I don't know. I'd like to know how it could be done the right way. I shouldn't be the one doing this, but I want to know by... I'm curious.
Yeah. All right. Oh, perfect. Martin, don't go anywhere. I'm going to put you on hold. Walter's going to address that just in 2 minutes.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Just like they say on TV, when you last joined us, we were on the phone with Martin from St. Hubert with that water drain problem. It's not your place, right, Martin? But you want to be fully abreast of what's going on. Oh, sorry. He's still on hold. Sorry. Martin, sorry about that.
That's okay.
All right. Walter, you heard the story from Martin. What do you think?
I did. Martin, that's unfortunately a common issue that happens when the drainage for the sump pump is inadequately installed. Usually what that means is that when they installed it, they did not create proper slopage. So what happens is you have this banana effect in the pipe. The other issue that that is common is improper exit of that drain. So when
that's
you look...
exactly what it is. It just comes out the side of the house, mm-hmm. Straight at a 4 foot height, and it's pointing at the other house next to it, which is maybe 6 feet away. So this other guy was complaining that all the water was going to him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a hose pointing right at his house. So somebody put a flexible hose and directed it out towards the street. But, of course, now it's blocked.
Yes.
And that's when the actual sump pump, it detached. It's just running continuously.
So one trick for you. Right now, unfortunately, the time is not adequate to do a complete, full, adequate repair because of the frozen ground. Because typically what happens is whenever it goes out, you create a dry pit, meaning you dig down and you put gravel in that pit, and that becomes a dry pit. So it takes a lot of the water that comes out before sending it to your neighbor. So it's not a very neighborly thing to do. And you also don't want to put it... You're not directed to the front or the back. You never direct it really to your neighbors, especially if they're very close proximity to you, because there's a lot of water that will pump out. So what can happen and what should happen now is that actual pipe that is directed in the wrong direction or the flexible pipe that is surface pipe would have to be completely maintained the whole winter, unfortunately. Or you kind of go back to plan B and keep it for now until you are able to create a dry pit in the summer or in the spring when the ground thaws.
And when you mean dry bed, you mean actually like digging like a trough and putting the flexible hose inside?
No, what you're doing is wherever the exit of your sump pump is, again, if you can redirect the exit to be towards the back, that's better. But wherever it exits, what you want to do is you want to dig down a hole and you want to fill that hole with gravel. So that acts as a dry pit, we call it. It's you know, it's a place where the water can filter down to the ground and not spread through the whole whole land or go to your neighbor or what have you.
Of course, I wouldn't put it right next to the... the house because it sort of defeats the purpose. The it would go right back into the French drain. Is that right?
That is correct. So you want it to be minimum, they say 5. I would go 6 to, in cases where you have that much water that's coming out, especially if it's an active sump pump, I would put it as far as possible, so 15, 20 feet away from the house. But the minimum, if you have a hindrance, would be minimum 6 feet. Minimum 6 feet. Even more if you can.
Okay.
Okay. The good news for you is that you don't have hopefully this is the only issue, because, you know, if it's an inadequate exit, that's good news. Where it would have been really bad news if the piping was done wrong and you have a negative slope and then it freezes all the time, that becomes a problem because you have to dig it all down and redo it again.
I see. Yeah, no, it just comes out the side of the house and it just points straight at the other neighbor.
Yeah, no, that's not a good practice, that's for sure.
Right.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Martin.
Thank you for being there.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, you too. Bye.
Bye. Walter? Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to answer this call in 3 minutes. That's all the time we have for Sonia, though, but I know you can do it. Sonia!
Hi, Ken.
Hi, out in DDO. We got 3 minutes before we have to get to news, so you want to talk to Walter about converting your oil furnace to electric?
Yes, I have to do it next year by law, I understand, but what's the deadline?
Good question. From what I understand, it depends on the municipality, but I think it's 2023. But you don't have to do it by 2023. In other words, you're not allowed to install. You're not allowed to have a new oil installation. But you could still keep your oil furnace as long as your oil furnace is working. So you don't, unless it needs a major rehaul, then you're not allowed to kind of rehaul it. But you could maintain it. You could fix it until the machine is finished. Then you're not allowed to replace it.
Yeah.
Okay. And when the machine gives up, does your company convert it to electric for me?
We can help you out with that. We can help you out with that when the time comes. But the idea is as well, Sonia, I mean, since you have the time and you're not doing it under the gun and your furnace is still working, you ask yourself many questions. Number one is, how old is my furnace? How old is my oil tank? Because the furnace is one thing, the oil tank is another. The oil tank, by law, insurance companies have a certain amount of years attached to the oil furnace, to the oil tank, that, you know, because that means you could spending money, but you don't want to really start spending money on something that you're changing.
Yeah.
So that also comes into perspective, when do we change our machines? The fact that you're going with, why am I going only electric? You also have to think about it. You want to go maybe try energy? You want to bring gas, propane? These are the questions you need to ask yourself.
So she's got time to shop around, I guess.
She's got time to shop around. Now, for sure, buy energy for her is going to be the better choice, because she will get the buy energy rates from hydro. If she goes full electric, she feels that. She will lose all of that, and she will pay a lot more on heating. So that's, you know, maybe the initial installation is cheaper when you go with full electric, but on the long run, you're paying a lot more money for your hydro rates.
How old's the furnace, Sonia?
Well, I've been in my bungalow for 50 years. It's in mint condition, like somebody who has a Corvette that they never use, and it's in the garage, and it's in mint condition. And then it came on to troubled times because I took a plan of some sort.
Mm.
And then, of course, you know, everyone in the family who was expert passed away. I continued with the plan. And eventually, I solved the problem, which was mentioned on Jan Neek's show.
Right.
It was covered several times, but I solved the problem. And I would like to share that maybe on the next call with the viewers, you know.
Sonia, thank you so much for listening to the show and calling in. And Walter, thank you for a great hour.
My pleasure, sir. All right. My pleasure.
Stay safe and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to all the listeners as well.
Absolutely. 2023. Who'da thunk? Stand by. Lisa Christensen and more of your calls on The Car Show coming up next.